Good morning. Welcome everyone to worship this morning. A special welcome to all of you joining us from home. We have a special worship service this week that is part of our season of creation that we have been interspersing in this season after Pentecost. And today is a special worship, as you see, called God in the Midst of Natural Disasters. It is a service of lament, recognizing what we've lost, and hope in Christ and in one another. This morning, recognizing that lament, we will begin with a psalm of a lament, Psalm 42. I invite all who are able to stand. Let us pray. Gracious God, by day and night we pour out our prayer to you. We are crying out for justice, yearning for what is right, longing for your peace. We feel what we have lost from fire, from flood, from drought, from wind and from earthquake. Many have been affected and are in pain. Come quickly to help us, O God. Save those who call upon your name. We grieve the fires that have raged across the West, destroying years of growth in our wilderness and living spaces. And your people cry, "How long, O Lord?" We grieve the droughts that have scorched crops, and your people cry, "How long, O Lord?" We grieve the floods that have destroyed habitats, villages, towns, and cities, and your people cry, "How long, O Lord?" We grieve the earthquakes and tsunamis that have devastated communities, and your people cry, "How long, O Lord?" We see water sources declining, and your people cry, "How long, O Lord?" We see our already exhausted emergency and rescue workers overworked, and your people cry, "How long, O Lord?" We feel our own complicity in the destruction of your world, yet see the problems as so complex that we do not know how to address them, and your people cry, "How long, O Lord?" Loving God, inspire by your Holy Spirit those who are afraid of losing hope. Keep us working and praying for the day when your justice will roll down like waters and your righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Assure us of your resurrection life that springs forth from death. Replenish our strength and stir up our hope as we look for signs of your coming reign. And fill us with the peace that passes understanding, the deep peace of Jesus Christ, our Savior, in whose holy name we pray. Amen. We continue with our first hymn. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Stir up your power, O God, and save your good creation. The earth groans in travail. The destruction of the air, water, and land has plunged us into fear, pain, and grief. Pour out over the earth justice that rolls down like water to nourish the life of the world. Restore the choir of your creatures and let us sing forth in joy. Send forth your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. In the name of Jesus, our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated and prepare your hearts, minds, and ears to hear the Word of God.
Our first reading is from Jeremiah chapter 4. I looked on the earth, and it was complete chaos, and to the heavens, and they had no light. I looked on the mountains, and they were quaking, and all the hills moved to and fro. I looked, and there was no one at all, and all the birds of the air had fled. I looked, and the fruitful land was a desert, and all its cities were laid in ruins before the Lord, before his fierce anger. For thus says the Lord, the whole land shall be a desolation. Yet I will not make a full end. Because of this, the earth shall mourn and the heavens above grow black, for I have spoken. I have purposed. I have not relented, nor will I turn back. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
There was a giant, small grass.
Our second reading is from Romans chapter 8. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its enslavement to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning together as it suffers together the pains of labor. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what one already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with groanings too deep for words. And God, who searches hearts, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for all the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. The word of the Lord.
The Gospel according to Matthew, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We continue with our hymn of the day. Please be seated. As I mentioned at the opening of the service this week, we're focusing on God's in the midst of natural disasters. And in this last week, talking about this with some of you in our Wednesday Bible study at different places, most everyone I talk to has a story related to some natural disaster. Some were actually actively in them. Some were affected by them secondarily. Some weren't affected, but they're near enough to them that the story resonated. A near miss, perhaps. One thing that often comes up in these stories, and the ones that really remain and reside in us, is the way those natural disasters bind people together. Extraordinary acts of love and compassion with one another to help each other. 2 years ago, when the fires came through Oregon so suddenly, I've heard so many stories of neighbors helping each other pack their cars, prepare plans if they would have moved to level 2 to level 3, and communities coming together. For me, when my family was evacuated and staying with my in-laws, I called my grandmother, who was living in Silverton, who wasn't evacuated yet, but could have been and lived alone and didn't drive, to find out, did she have a plan and what was going on? She'd already made a plan with the neighbors who were going to set up a thing, but being the grandson, she preferred my plans instead. But my brother-in-law was calling his aunt in a very similar situation. It was no questions asked. What does this person next to you need? How can we help them? And that happened for those who were not well known to each other. And in those moments, we often could think of the wisdom of, say, Fred Rogers in the midst of tragedy, who always would say, look to the helpers to find hope. That sense of togetherness and meaning. And I think when we reflect on those moments, that just makes us inwardly beam of how we can bind together as a community. And that's all very true and very real and very important. But you know, there is a second step. Especially when it comes to natural disasters, particularly wildfires, it's amazing how quickly that togetherness can erode. In the actual moment of the disaster, we band together. But as soon as we get out of it and have a moment to stop and say, what just happened? Often our newfound unity falls apart. We start to get into a debate. How did this happen? Some immediately talk about climate change making these disasters so frequent. Others vociferously reacting and challenging that climate had anything to do with it. Others challenging the way the government prepared for it or responded to it. And the debate goes on and people become so passionate on this subject that it's hard to even talk any longer. But of course, what happened in that debate? Pretty soon, we aren't looking at the real devastation and destruction of what was lost. People's homes destroyed, hundreds of years of growth, the challenge that rescue and recovery workers have and are going to have, the trauma of losing everything and not knowing where next to turn. I've been told by some people living up the Mackenzie that after their houses burned, they're still in the temporary trailer housing because they haven't been able to get everything through to build a new home. Today's service is not a moment to invite ethical charges about climate or castigate one another for our ideological positions. And I'm further not interested in talking about the causes of natural disasters, whether they're cyclical or human-caused. And I don't want to make light of those topics. There are times and places for that. But today, I want to invite us to do something else. I'd like us to pause, to recognize the disasters we have faced and are going to continue to face are losses in our lives. They're real traumas. Some are very direct. Some of you might have lost a home or even a loved one in a disaster. Others might know someone who has. Others have not lost anyone, but can see the disaster and feel the presence of them in your bodies. When you go up the Mackenzie or any forest that has been burned, and you're in that space of what once was a vibrant space, and while there is some new growth, there is just that sense that's ominous and often kind of spooky, and it's really a sense of loss being in that space. So instead of what we often do today, I'd like us to invite us to grieve. To grieve that which has been lost. As all of you know, when we lose those near us, grief is an abiding present inside of us that will find an outlet. And of course, there's not only one model for doing that. In the Bible, one of the ways the grief was managed was through the lens of lament. In those moments of crying out, as we did at the beginning of this service, "How long, O Lord?" But there's more to lament than just crying out, "How long?" They begin not actually with simply a cry of dereliction, but instead with a recognition of God's promises for our lives. Only after those promises are known can it lead to a question of current suffering, naming what's happened among us. And from naming who God has been, naming the suffering of our present circumstance, then we cry out to God, "How long, O Lord? It feels like you've forgotten me. Why are you hiding your face from me? Why don't you act? I want you to solve this." That cry leads to a statement of God's deliverance. And finally, to praise. Lament holds two things that are true. First, I am suffering. Second, you are God. It's holding that there is a real challenge within us, and I don't know what to do about it. And second, my hope is in you. That's what leads to praise. My suffering can't praise right now, but my hope can. And I can find that hope, but only through my grief, only through my suffering, both things present at once. In our second reading from Romans today that Honor read for us, Paul is talking with a theology of lament. He speaks of groaning, or maybe better, wailing, the cry made to God from our deepest, innermost beings and suffering. A cry of lament, a cry of deep grief. Paul makes clear, though, that we're not the only ones crying out. So too is the very creation alongside us. As our reading from Jeremiah says, the earth mourns. But the earth isn't alone. So us too. We recognize that the world we live in every sense broken, limited, and full of the power of sin. All is not right. And so in those moments of grief, in those moments of pain, in those moments where we recognize the loss we've experienced, in the destruction around us, what we really are seeing is the brokenness of our whole world. And what makes that hard to see is what it means for the brokenness of ourselves. The limitation of what we can control. I believe one of the hardest things about processing grief in every circumstance is what will it say about who I am and who I am if what I have lost is gone? The losses that have built up live inside us. And of course, processing that grief is much of the hardest work we'll ever do in our lives. And those of you who've lost those dearest to you know that so very robustly. So what does it mean for us to process the grief of the disasters in the world we live in? The losses of what we think of as home. It shows us our fragility, our weakness. We see how quickly and how unexpectedly we can lose everything, yes, indeed, even ourselves. So where do we find hope? In our reading, Paul doesn't do something we would have expected. He doesn't say glibly, God is in control. Well, it may be true that God is in control. Paul's not interested in a vague, abstract statement that might make for good bumper stickers, but are really hard to see and feel in moments of grief. Instead, he moves far more personally and meaningfully. Paul says of this lament that while you and the earth are groaning forward, that you are joined by the Holy Spirit alive within you. God is joining you in this lament. When there are sighs too deep for words, when there is nothing you can say in your grief, the Spirit is alive within you, acting on your behalf, interceding and bringing forth your being to God's very own self. The cry of distress in a lament, like we did in Psalm 42, is a cry that God feels absent, that God's not here. Paul tells us that even when we feel God is absent, not only is God present, but God is the very one making that lament with you. It's God bringing forth the grief you're holding. And processing that grief, just like processing any grief, is not going to change the external circumstance around us. Those disasters remain real. Those that have happened, that have left their destruction, or those that are coming, will come, whether we process that grief or not. But processing that grief changes the internal character of ourselves. It allows us to look deeply within and answer that question, who am I? Why do I matter? If I cry out that God has abandoned me, that's often not really a cry about my circumstances, but my feeling of worth. The feeling that I'm so insignificant that not even God cares. In Romans, Paul goes right there. In his discussion of the lament and grief, the deliverance is not a vague idea, but instead is a personal statement about your own worth. Our hope is not in an idea, but a relationship with a living God. Paul makes clear that you, each one of you, are children of God. God chose you as valuable and precious. God embraces you as God's own. God has brought you into the family of God. God has justified you as righteous, and God's glorified you to God's very own presence. Glorification is language of resurrection. It's language that in our dying with Christ in baptism, so too is our rising with Christ in glory. One could imagine talking about resurrection with natural disasters to be about the resurrection of the fields and the forests, that God brings from death new life. That's true, but Paul invites us to internal space. After looking at the world around us and how fragile it is, after seeing how vulnerable and fragile we are as people, after we are brought to saying, what even am I? Paul says, you are God's. The resurrection that is alive in you and for you, each and every one of you. The hope we have is not only in the huge machinations of the world to address systemic issues, but the direct relationship between Christ and us. That is when we can find in our grief, because when we process through grief, we find our true hope, that we are God's precious possession. That's our hope and can lead us with the psalmist finally to praise. Our lament, when we look around in grief, how long, O Lord, is our hope that we are God's and that God is always for us and never against us. Thanks be to God. Amen. We continue with our creed and invite all who are able to stand.
With the whole church, let us confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the remission of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life of the dead. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray for the church, the whole creation, and for all people according to their need. You crown your church with steadfast love and mercy. Guide us continually in our baptismal covenant to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. Use our diverse gifts in service to the whole people of God. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You satisfy the needs of all creatures. Protect the habitats of fish and birds and all wildlife. Repair ecosystems damaged by misuse, neglect, or natural disaster, that all creation may thrive. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You make your ways known to all people. Inspire the rulers and leaders of nations with your compassion and mercy, so that together we can work for justice and peace for all. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You call us into ventures of which we cannot see the ending, down paths as yet untrodden. Today, as we bid farewell in Godspeed to Karis and Dennis Lindsay and their daughter Mia, we ask you to keep them in your grace and give them good courage, trusting that your hand is leading and guiding them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. You care for the sick and all who suffer. Heal those who struggle with depression and anxiety. Set free all who cry out under the weight of mental, emotional, or physical distress. Comfort all who are ill, especially Joy Lathrop, Tara Pratt, Kristen Ware. We pray for all those we've named aloud, those we hold silently in our hearts, and those known only to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You call your people into a shared mission, and so today we give thanks for our council leaders, Jean Clancy, Deborah Knievel, Jack Bennett, Charlotte Bontrager, Ron Fenchick, Matt Haugen, Howard Callinan, Jill Liedtke, and Chuck Swenson. Shower them with the gifts of wisdom and discernment, and inspire all of us to support and encourage one another in our life together. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You remain steadfast throughout the ages, and so we give thanks for the communion of saints who have gathered in worship in this holy space and in all times and all places. Support us in your love until our work on earth is done and we find our eternal rest in you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us pray. Sovereign of the universe, you set the parameters of the sea and renew the earth with the light from the ages and rain from the heavens. Receive the gifts we bring as we care for oceans, lakes, and all habitats. To the glory of God and the name of Christ, our peace. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and at all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, holy God, through Christ our Lord, who rose beyond the bounds of death, and as he had promised, poured out your spirit of life and power upon the chosen disciples, and so also upon us. At this, the whole earth exults in boundless joy. And so, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, and he gave it for all of them to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering therefore his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. For distribution, we'll invite you to come forward to the center aisle and receive the bread in form of a wafer, and then dip it into the cup. And it's a divided cup with red wine and white grape juice. Come, for all has been prepared. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Blood of Christ shed for you. body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. And now, may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in His grace. Amen. Let us pray. In this meal of bread and wine, we're reminded of our place within creation. We are merely one piece of a diverse landscape which you dream into existence every day. Send us now filled with your goodness, striving for the better world you envision through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Before the benediction, just one announcement you see in your bulletin. That is the blood drive that is going to be held here in the parish hall on Tuesday the 23rd. You do need to register in advance to come and give blood. So you can find the information there. Please go online or make that phone call to reserve your spot. Now, I invite all who are able to stand for the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Serve the Lord.
Thanks.